he says with a grimace. I'm just glad Seattle isn't too far.
England is.
After a long pause, he says, she won't go to England. I give him a fuck-off look.
What the fuck do you know? You've known her for, what, 2 days?
I'm about to really go off when the obnoxious beep of the microwave interrupts us.
I know Carol, though, and she wouldn't go to England.
So he's back to being the annoying drunk he was yesterday.
Tessa isn't her mother, and I'm not you.
Okay,
he says and shrugs.
Chapter 13. Tessa. Molly. I pray that her presence here is a complete coincidence, but when Steph appears behind her, I sink back into the booth. Hey, Tessa, Steph says and sits across from me, scooting in close to the wall so her friend can sit next to her. Why would she invite me to have lunch with her and Molly? Long time no see, Molly the skank says to me. I don't know what to say to either of them. I want to get up and walk out, but instead I half smile and just say, yeah. Have you ordered? Steph asks, completely ignoring the fact that she brought with her my biggest, my only enemy. No. I reach into my bag to pull out my phone. No need to call Daddy. I'm not going to bite, Molly smirks. I wasn't calling Harden, I tell her. I was actually going to text him. There's a clear difference. Sure you weren't, she replies and laughs. Stop, Steph snaps. You said you'd be nice, Molly. Why did you even come? I ask the girl that I loathe more than anyone in the entire world. She shrugs. I'm hungry, she says matter-of-factly, clearly mocking my emotions. I grab my sweatshirt and move to get up. I should just go. No, stay. Please, you're moving and I won't see you again, Steph says, pouting. What? You're leaving in a few days, aren't you? Who told you that? Molly and Steph look at each other before Steph answers. Zed, I think. It doesn't matter, though. I thought you'd tell me. I was going to. There was just a lot going on. I was going to tell you here, I say, then look at Molly as if to explain my reluctance to continue. I still wish you'd have told me. I was your first friend here. Steph sticks out her bottom lip in a way that makes me feel bad, but still seems a little comical, so I'm thankful when a server arrives to take our drink order. While Steph and Molly are ordering their sodas, I text Harden. You're probably passed out, but I'm at lunch with Steph, and she brought Molly, frustrated face. I hit send and look back up at the two girls. So are you excited to be leaving? What are you and Harden going to do? Steph asks. I shrug and look around the room. I'm not discussing my relationship in front of Satan's daughter. You can talk in front of me. Trust me, I'm not interested in your boring-ass life, Molly scoffs, taking a sip of her water. Trust you? I laugh and my phone vibrates. Come home, Harden texts back. I don't know what I expected him to say, but I'm disappointed in his advice or lack of it. No, I'm hungry, I reply. Look, you and Harden are cute and all, but I don't really give a shit about your relationship anymore, Molly informs me. I have my own relationship to worry about. Great. Good for you. I feel bad for whoever the idiot is. Speaking of which, Molly, when are we going to meet this mystery man? Steph asks her friend. Molly dismisses her with a flip of the hand. I don't know. Not right now. The waitress returns with our drinks and takes our orders. As soon as she leaves, Molly turns to me, her real prey. Anyway, so how pissed at Zed are you that he's planning to put Harden in jail? She asks, and I nearly spit out my water. The idea of Harden going to jail sends ice through my veins. I'm trying to stop that from happening. Good luck with that. Unless you plan on fucking Zed, there's nothing you can do. Again, she smirks, tapping her neon green fingernail on the table. That's not an option, I growl.
I've got something you can eat here. Really, though, come home before something happens and I can't save you.
Save me? From what? Molly and Steph? Steph is my friend, and I've already proved once before that I can take Molly, and I'd do it again in a heartbeat. She's annoying, and I can't stand her, but I'm not afraid of her like I once was. I can tell by Hardin's perverted message that he's still intoxicated.
I mean it. Leave there,
his next message says when I don't reply. I shove my phone into my bag and direct my attention to the girls. You've already done it before, so what's the difference? Molly says. Excuse me? I say. I'm not judging you. I fucked Hardin. Zed too, she reminds me. I'm so frustrated that I want to scream. I didn't sleep with Zed, I say through my teeth. Mm-hmm, Molly says, and Steph glares at her. Did someone say that? That I slept with Zed? I ask them. No, Steph answers before Molly can speak.
And anyway, enough talk about Zed. I want to know about Seattle. Is Hardin coming too?
Yeah, I lie. I don't want to admit, especially in front of Molly, that Hardin refuses to join me in Seattle.
So neither of you will be here anymore? That will be so strange, Steph says with a little frown.
It'll be strange to start over at a new campus after everything I've been through at WCU. That's exactly what I need, though. A new start. This entire town is tainted with memories of betrayal and false friendships.
We should have a get-together this weekend. One last hurrah, Steph says.
I groan. No, no parties.
No, no, not a party. Just our group.
She looks at me with something like pleading in her eyes.
Let's be honest. We'll probably never see each other again, and Hardin should hang out with his old friends at least one more time.
I hesitate and have to look away from her, glancing over at the bar area. Molly's voice interrupts the silence. I won't be there. Don't worry. I look back at them, and right then our food arrives. But I've lost my appetite. Are people really saying that I slept with Zed? Has Hardin heard this supposed rumor? Will Zed really put Hardin in jail? My head hurts. Steph eats a few fries, and before she finishes chewing, she says,
Talk to Hardin and let me know. We could have it at someone's apartment, Tristan and Nate's even. That way no random douchebags will show up.
I can ask. I don't know if he will or not. My eyes move down to my screen. 3 missed calls, 1 text.
Answer your phone.
I'm leaving after I eat, calm down. Drink some water, I respond, and pick at my own fries a little. But the tension obviously gets to Molly, and she starts talking like a pot boiling over. Well, he should like that idea. We were his friends long before you came along and ruined him. I didn't ruin him. Yes, you did. He's so different now. He doesn't even call anybody anymore. His friends? I scoff. Nobody calls him either. The only one who even contacts him anymore is Nate. That's because we know, Molly begins, but Steph puts her hand in the air.
Enough, oh my God, she groans, rubbing her temples.
I'm going to ask for a takeout box and go home. This was a bad idea, I tell her. I don't know what she was thinking, bringing Molly here anyway. She could have at least warned me. Steph looks at me sympathetically.
I'm sorry, Tessa. I thought you guys could get along since she's not trying to fuck with Hardin anymore.
Then she glares at Molly, who shrugs. We are getting along. Better than before, Molly says. I want to smack that smug look off her face, but Steph's ringtone interrupts my violent thoughts. A puzzled look crosses her face, then she says,
It's Hardin. He's calling me,
and holds her phone up for me to see. I haven't been texting him back. I'll call him in a minute, I tell her, and she nods okay and ignores the call. Geez, stalker much? Molly bites down on the end of a French fry. I bite my tongue and ask the server for a to-go box. I've barely touched my food, but I don't want to cause a scene in the middle of a restaurant.
Please think about Saturday. We can even make it like a dinner thing instead of a party,
Steph offers. Then she gives me her best smile.
Please?
I'll see what I can do, but we're going on a trip until Saturday morning. She nods again agreeably.
You can choose the time.
Thanks. I'll let you know, I tell her, and pay my bill. I don't like the idea, but in a way she's right. We won't ever see any of them again. Hardin's going somewhere. Maybe not Seattle, but he isn't staying here now since his expulsion, and he probably should see his old friends one last time.
He's calling again, Steph tells me. She doesn't bother trying to hide her amusement.
Tell him I'm on my way. I stand up and head for the door. When I turn back around, Steph and Molly are talking, and Steph's phone is resting on the table in front of them.
Chapter 14. Harden.
Tessa, if you don't call me back, I'll come looking for you, hammered or not, I threaten, then throw my phone against the couch too hard, so it bounces up off the back and hits the concrete.
She'll come back,
Dick assures me ever so helpfully.
I know that,
I shout at him and grab my phone. Fortunately, the screen's not cracked. I glare at the old drunk and then stalk into the bedroom. Why the fuck is he here again? And why the fuck isn't Tessa? Nothing good can come out of her being in the same room with Molly. Just as I start plotting how to go out and find her when I have no keys, no car, and a blood alcohol level that is far beyond the legal limit, I hear the front door open.
He's, lying down,
Richard says loudly, with incongruous cheerfulness. I suspect he's trying to give me some sort of warning of Tessa's arrival. I pull the door open before she can, and sweep a long arm to invite her in. She doesn't look the least bit intimidated or concerned by the deep scowl on my face.
Why didn't you answer when I called you?
I demand.
Because I told you I was leaving soon, and I did.
You should have answered. I've been worried.
Worried?
She's clearly surprised by my choice of words.
Yes, worried. Why the hell were you with Molly?
She puts her purse on the back of the chair.
Beats me. Steph invited me to lunch and brought her along.
Fucking Steph. Why the fuck would she do that? Was she mean?
No meaner than usual.
She raises her brow, watching me. Steph's a bitch for bringing her. What were they saying?
I don't know, but I think people are spreading rumors about me.
She frowns and sits on the chair to remove her shoes.
What? What sort of rumors?
What I really mean to ask is, who do I have to kill? Fuck, I'm still drunk. How is this possible? It's been at least 3 hours. I vaguely remember being told some time ago that each drink takes an hour to sober up from. I'm fucked for at least the next 10 or so hours, then. That is, if I'm remembering correctly.
Did you hear me?
Tessa's voice is calm, worried even.
No, sorry,
I mumble. Her cheeks flush.
I think people are saying that Zed and I... You know.
You what?
That we... slept together.
Her eyes are weary, and her voice is soft.
Who's saying that?
I try to keep my voice at the same level as Tessa's, despite the slow burn of anger building inside me.
Supposedly there's a rumor about it. Steph and Molly were talking about it.
I don't know whether to try to comfort her or let my anger take over. I'm too drunk for this shit. She holds her hands in her lap and looks down.
I don't want people to think of me in that way.
Don't listen to them. They're fucking idiots. If there is a rumor, I'll be sure it's cleared up.
I drag her over to sit with me on the bed.
Don't you worry. You're not mad at me?
She asks, blue-gray eyes meeting mine.
Yes,
I say. I'm upset because you weren't answering, and then Steph didn't fucking answer. But I'm not mad about this rumor shit. Not at you, at least. They probably just made it up because they wanted to be assholes. The thought of Steph and Molly saying shit to Tessa to purposely hurt her feelings really fucking irks me.
I don't understand why she brought Molly, who then, of course, had to remind me that she slept with you.
She cringes. So do I.
She's a fucking whore who doesn't have a shit else to do but reminisce over the days I used to fuck her brains out.
Harden...
Tess whines at the too descriptive reminder.
Sorry. You know what I mean.
She unhooks the clasp of her bracelet and gets up to place it on the desk.
Are you still drunk?
A little.
A little?
I smile. A little more than a little.
You're being so weird.
She rolls her eyes and pulls that damn planner out of the desk drawer.
How so?
I walk over to stand behind her.
You're drunk and being all nice about everything. Like you were mad that I wasn't answering you, but now you're being...
She looks up at my face.
Understanding, I guess is the word, over this Molly thing. What did you expect me to do? I don't know. Yell at me? You don't have the best temper when you're drunk, she says softly.
I can tell she's trying not to upset me, but wants to let me know she's not going to dance around the issue.
I'm not going to yell at you. I just didn't want you around them. You know how they are, especially Molly, and I don't want anyone hurting you.
Then I add, emphasizing each word,
in any way. Well, they didn't. But I know it's stupid, but for once I just wanted a normal lunch with a friend.
I want to tell her Steph isn't an ideal choice for a friend, but I know she doesn't have any, aside from Landon and me, and Noah, and Zed. Well, not Zed anymore. That shit is over, and I'm fairly certain that kid won't be showing his face around here for a while.
Chapter 15. Tessa. The fact that Harden is being reasonable surprises me, and I'm able to relax a little bit. He crosses his legs and leans back on his palms. I'm not sure if I should bring up Seattle now, since he seems to be in an easy mood, or if I should wait. But if I wait, who knows when he'll be ready to talk about it? I glance at him, notice his green eyes watching me, and decide to ease into it. Steph wants to have a going-away party, I tell him, and wait for his reaction.
Where's she going? LSU?
No, it's for me, I explain, leaving out the small detail of telling them he's coming along to Seattle. He gives me a look.
You told them you're moving?
Yes. Why wouldn't I?
Because you haven't decided yet, right?
Harden, I'm going to Seattle. He shrugs nonchalantly.
You still have some time to think about it.
Anyway, what do you think about this party? She said it could be a dinner party type get-together at Nate and Tristan's place instead of the frat house, I explain, but Harden's still intoxicated and he doesn't seem to be listening to me. I look over my moving schedule for next week. I really hope Sandra calls me back soon about that apartment, otherwise I won't have a place to live when I get there, and I'll be stuck living out of a suitcase in some motel room. Ugh, motel rooms.
No, we aren't going.
He surprises me by saying. I turn to him. What? Why not? If it's a dinner, it won't be so bad. No truth or dare or suck and go, you know? He chuckles and looks up at me with amusement clear on his face.
Suck and blow, Tess.
You know what I mean. It'll be the last time we, well, I see them, and they have sort of been my friends in a really strange way. I don't want to think about the beginning of my friendship with the group.
Let's just talk about it later. This shit is giving me a headache.
He groans. I sigh in defeat. I can tell by his tone that he's not going to continue the discussion.
Come here.
He sits back down on the mattress and opens his arms to me. I close the planner and go to join him on the bed. As I stand between his legs, his hands move to my hips. He looks up at me with a crooked smile.
Aren't you supposed to be mad at me or something?
I'm getting overwhelmed, Harden, I admit.
Overwhelmed by what?
I throw up my arms. Everything. Seattle, transferring to another campus, Landon leaving, your expulsion.
I lied.
He says plainly and nuzzles his face into my stomach. What now? What? I thread my fingers through his hair and lift his head to look up at me. He shrugs.
I lied about the expulsion.
I take a step away from him. He tries to pull me back, but I don't allow it. Why?
I don't know, Tessa,
he says and stands.
I was upset about you being outside with Zed and all this Seattle shit.
My mouth drops. So you told me you were expelled because you were pissed at me?
Yeah. Well, that and another reason.
What other reason? He sighs.
You're going to be angry.
His eyes are still red, but he seems to be sobering up quickly. I cross my arms over my chest. Yeah, probably, but tell me.
I thought you'd feel bad for me and come to England.
I don't know what to think about his confession. I should be upset. I am upset. I'm pissed the hell off. The nerve of him to try and guilt me into moving to England with him. He should have just been honest from the start. But still, I can't help but feel a little better about finding it out straight from his mouth instead of the usual way his lies are revealed. He looks at me with questioning eyes.
Tessa?
I look at him and almost smile. Honestly, I'm just surprised you came clean before someone else told me.
Me too.
He closes the distance between us, bringing his hand to my neck, the span of his fingers covering my jaw.
Please don't be mad at me. I'm an asshole.
I blow out a harsh breath, but love his touch. That's a terrible defense.
I'm not defending myself. I'm a dick. I know this. But I love you, and I'm sick of all the shit. I knew you'd find out sooner or later anyway, especially with this dreadful trip with my father's family.
So you told me because you knew I'd find out?
Yeah.
I pull my head back a little and look at him. You would have kept it from me and still tried to force me to go to England with you out of pity?
Basically.
What the hell am I supposed to say to that? I want to tell him he's insane, that he's not my father and needs to stop trying to manipulate me, but instead I just stand there with my mouth open like a fool. You can't try to force me into things by lying and manipulating me.
I know it's fucked up,
he says, with a look of worry in his green eyes.
I don't know why I am the way I am. I just don't want to lose you, and I'm desperate here.
I can tell by his expression that he really doesn't understand how he's been acting. No, you don't know. Otherwise you wouldn't have lied. Harden puts his hands on my hips.
Tessa, I'm sorry. I really am. You have to admit that we're both getting much better at this relationship shit.
He's right. In a messed up way, we really are much better at communicating than we used to be. Far from a normal functioning relationship, but normal has never been our thing.
So, the marriage thing, that isn't going to make you come with me?
My heart beats uncontrollably in my chest, and I'm sure he can hear it, but I say simply, we'll talk about it when you're not drunk.
I'm not that drunk.
I smile and pat his cheek. Too drunk for that type of conversation. He smiles and pulls me closer.
When will you be back from Sandpoint?
You're not coming?
I don't know.
You said you would. We've never traveled together before.
Seattle,
he says, and I laugh. Actually, you showed up there uninvited and left the next morning. He runs a hand through my hair.
Technicalities.
I really want you to come. Landon is moving soon. The thought of that alone pains me.
So?
He asks, shaking his head. And your father would love it if you came, I'm sure.
Oh, him. He's just upset with himself because they gave me a bullshit fine and put me on academic probation. The slightest fuck-up and I'm done.
Then why not transfer to the Seattle campus with me?
I can't hear the word Seattle again tonight. I've had a long day and I have a headache from hell now.
He kisses my forehead. I snap my head back slightly away from him. You got drunk with my father and lied about being expelled. We're talking about Seattle if I want to, I say sharply. He smiles.
And you wore those pants out after teasing me with them and didn't answer my calls.
He runs his thumb along my bottom lip. You don't need to call me that many times. It's suffocating. Molly even called you a stalker, I say, but smile beneath his gentle touch.
Did she now?
He continues tracing the outline of my lips, and they part involuntarily. Yeah, I breathe. I know what you're doing. I reach down and remove his other hand from my hip, where his fingers have begun to slip below the waistband of my pants. He smiles.
What's that?
You're trying to distract me so I won't be mad at you.
How's that working for me?
Not well enough. Besides, my father is here, and there's no way I'm having sex with you when he's in the other room. I reach around and smack him playfully on the butt. which only makes him thrust himself against me a little.
Oh, you mean like when I fucked you right there?
He points to the bed.
While my mum was sleeping on the couch?
He thrusts gently against me again.
Or the time I fucked you in the bathroom at my father's. Or the multiple times I fucked you while Karen, Landon, and my father were just down the hall.
He reaches down and touches my thigh softly.
Oh, wait. You must mean like when I bent you over your desk at work.
Okay, okay, I get it, I get it. I flush, and he laughs.
Come on, Tessie, lie down.
You're sick. I laugh and step away from him.
Where are you going?
He says with a pout. To see what my father's doing out there.
Why? So you can come back in here and...
No! Gosh, go to sleep or something, I exclaim. I'm glad he's still being playful, but despite his confession, it's still annoying that he lied to me and is being so stubborn about even really discussing Seattle. I thought for sure that when I got home from my late lunch at Applebee's, he'd be furious at me for not answering his texts. I never suspected that we'd talk things out and he'd admit to lying about being expelled. Maybe Steph had reassured him that I was on my way, so he had time to calm down. Then again, Steph's phone was on the table when I turned back around. "Did you say Steph didn't answer when you called?" I ask.
"Yes. Why?"
He looks at me confused. I shrug, unsure what to say. I'm just wondering.
"Why, though?"
His tone is off. "I told her to tell you I was on my way, and I'm just wondering why she didn't."
"Oh."
He looks away, reaching for a cup on the dresser. This whole conversation is so awkward. Steph not telling him that I was on my way, him avoiding my eyes. I'm going out there. You can join us if you want.
I will. I'm just going to change.
I nod and turn the door handle.
What about your dad, though? He just came back into your life and you're going to leave?
His words stop me in my tracks. It's not like I hadn't thought about it before, but Harden lobbing that question at me like a missile when my back is turned doesn't sit right with me. I take a moment to recover before leaving the room. When I get to the living room, my father is asleep again. Binge drinking at noon must be exhausting. I turn off the television and head to the kitchen for some water. Harden's words about leaving so soon after seeing my father again keep replaying in my mind. But the thing is, I can't put my future on hold for a father whom I haven't seen for 9 years. If the circumstances were different, I would consider rethinking this. But he's the one who left me. When I get back to the bedroom door, I hear Harden's voice speaking from inside.
What the fuck was that shit today?
He says, his voice muffled. I press my ear to the door. I should just walk in, but I get the feeling I'm not supposed to hear the conversation, which means I really should hear the conversation.
I don't give a fuck. It shouldn't have happened. Now she's all upset and shit, and you're supposed to...
I can't make out the rest of the sentence.
Don't fuck this up,
he snaps. Who is he talking to? And what are they supposed to be doing? Is it Steph? Or worse, Molly? I hear his footsteps approaching the door, and I quickly scoot into the bathroom and close the door. Moments later, knuckles tap against the wood.
Tessa?
I open the door. I know I must appear flustered. My heart is pounding against my ribcage, and my stomach is in a knot. Oh, hey, was just finishing up in here. I say, but my voice is too small. Harden cocks an eyebrow at me.
Okay.
He looks down the hall.
Where's your dad? Is he asleep?
Yep, I say, which makes him grin wide.
Well, come on back to the bedroom then,
he says, and takes my hand in his, turning and pulling me gently. As I follow Harden back into the bedroom, paranoia begins to seep into my thoughts like a familiar friend. Chapter 16. Tessa. The microscopic section of my mind that holds a place for common sense is attempting to send warning signals to the rest of my brain, the space held by Harden and all things Harden. The sensible side, what's left of it anyway, is telling me that I need to ask questions, that I can't just brush this off. I do that too much as it is. That's the microscopic section. The larger section wins. Because do I really want to cause a fight with him or accuse him of something that I might just be misunderstanding? He could have just been angry at Steph for inviting Molly along to lunch earlier. I couldn't hear all that well, and he might have been sticking up for me. He was just so forthcoming about having lied about being expelled. Why would he be lying to me now? Hardin sits back on the bed, grabbing my hands in his, pulling me over to sit on his leg.
Well, we've exhausted all the serious topics, and your dad's asleep. I guess we'll have to find another way to occupy ourselves.
His grin is ridiculous, yet infectious. Is sex all you think about? I reply, and push his chest playfully. He lies back on the bed, one hand across the small of my back and one behind my thigh, pulling me on top of him. I straddle him, my thighs on either side of his, and he pulls me down so that our faces are nearly touching.
No, I think of other things, too. For example, I think of those lips open around me.
He brushes his lips against mine. I can taste the hint of mint on his breath when he kisses me. The pressure is hard enough to send a wave of electricity through me, but gentle enough to leave me wanting more.
I think of my face buried between your legs while you...
He starts to say, but I reach up and cover his mouth with my hand. The way his tongue playfully darts out to lick my palm causes me to pull away quickly. Ew! I crinkle my nose and wipe my wet palm on his black shirt.
I'll be quiet,
he softly says, lifting his hips from the mattress to press himself against me.
That's more than you can say, of course.
My father, I remind him, with much less conviction this time.
Who gives a fuck? This is our place, and if he doesn't like it, he can leave.
I give him a semi-serious look. Don't be rude.
I'm not, but I want you, and I should be able to have you whenever I want to.
He says, and I roll my eyes. I have a say in this, too. It's my body you're talking about. I pretend like my heart isn't pounding and I don't have that familiar ache for him.
Obviously, yes. But I know that if I do this...
He reaches his hand down between our bodies and under the waistband of my pants and panties.
See, I knew you'd be ready when I started talking about eating.
I press my lips against his to silence his dirty mouth, and he swallows the gasps he's causing me to make as his fingers graze over my clit. He's barely touching me, deliberately trying to torture me. Please, I hiss, and he applies more pressure, pushing a slick finger inside of me.
Thought so,
he taunts and pumps his finger slowly. All too soon he stops his motion and moves me to lie beside him. Before I can complain, he sits up and grips the top of my pants, the pair he seems to be so infatuated with, and pulls them roughly down my thighs. I lift my hips to assist him, and then he works off my panties, too. Without speaking, he gestures for me to move up toward the top of the bed. I push myself back using my elbows and rest my back against the headboard. He lies on his stomach in front of me, hooking both arms around my thighs, opening them. He smirks.
At least try to be quiet.
I begin to roll my eyes, but then his warm breath hits me, soft at first, then increasing in pressure when he gets closer. Without warning, his tongue slides across me, and I reach over and grab a decorative pillow, the yellow one that Hardin calls hideous on a regular basis. I cover my face with it, using it to muffle the involuntary sounds falling from my lips as his tongue moves faster and faster. Abruptly, the pillow is ripped away from my face.
No, baby. Watch me.
Hardin instructs, and I nod slowly. He brings one thumb to his lips, and his tongue glides over me. Moving his hand back between my thighs, he hits my most sensitive spot. My legs tighten. His touch feels heavenly against my clit, his finger moving in slow circles with just the lightest touch of the tip of his finger torturing me. Obeying his command, I gaze down at him between my thighs, his hair messy and pushed back, standing in a wave above his forehead, a lone lock falling down only to be pushed back again when he dips his head down. Half seeing, half imagining his mouth moving against me increases the sensation drastically, and I know, I just know, I won't be able to stay quiet as the slow buildup of my release begins. With one hand covering my mouth and one buried in his curls, I begin shifting my hips to meet his tongue. It just feels too good. I tug at his hair and feel him moan against me, sending me closer and closer.
Harder.
He gasps. What? He reaches up to the hand that I've threaded through his hair and places his hand on top of mine to tug at the roots of his hair. He wants me to pull his hair?
Do it,
he says with a wanting look, and then begins to move his fingers in fast circles and lowers his head to add his tongue to the sensation. I tug at his hair, hard, and he looks up at me, his eyes fluttering closed. When they open, they're a bright, burning jade. He holds my gaze as my vision blurs and disappears momentarily.
Come on, baby,
he whispers. I notice his hand reach down between his legs, and I can't hold it any longer. I watch his hand stroking his hard cock, bringing himself to orgasm with me. I will never get used to the way his actions make me feel. Watching him touching himself, feeling the hot puffs of air against me as his breathing grows heavier.
You taste so fucking good, baby.
He moans against me, his hand moving quicker between his legs. I barely feel my teeth sinking into my palm as I ride out my high, still pulling at his hair. I blink, and blink some more, lazily. As I come back to consciousness, I feel him adjust his weight and lay his head on my stomach. I open my eyes to find him with his closed, his chest moving up and down, his breath shallow. I lift him by his shoulder and attempt to move between his legs. He stops and looks at me.
I'm already done,
he says. I stare at him.
I already came.
His voice is thick with exhaustion. Oh. He smiles a lazy, half-drunk smile and stands up from the bed. He strides over to the dresser and opens his bottom drawer, grabbing a pair of white gym shorts.
I need to shower and change, obviously.
He points to the crotch of his jeans, where, despite their dark color, the wet spot is evident. Just like old times, I smile, and he looks at me, smiling back. Hardin comes over and places a kiss on my forehead, then one on my lips.
Good to know you haven't lost your touch,
he says, walking to the door. It wasn't my touch, I remind him, and he shakes his head, leaving the room. I reach for my clothes at the end of the bed, praying that my father is still asleep on the couch, and that if by chance he is awake, he doesn't stop Hardin on his way to the bathroom. Seconds later, the bathroom door closes and I stand to get dressed. When I'm done, I check my phone for a voicemail from Sandra, but there's nothing. What I do see is the small envelope in the corner of my screen indicating a new text message. Maybe she's busy and decided to text me. I click it open and read,
I need to talk to you.
I sigh when I read the sender's name, Zed. I delete the message and set my phone back on the desk. Then curiosity gets the best of me and I look around for Hardin's phone. My heart pounds as I remember the last time I went snooping through it. That didn't end well. But this time, I know he's not hiding anything. He wouldn't be. We're in a completely different place now than we were before. He got a tattoo for me. He just won't move for me. I have nothing to worry about, right? I check the dresser after not seeing it on the desk, then figure he must have taken it with him to the bathroom, because that's normal, right? I have nothing to worry about. I'm just stressed and paranoid, I remind myself. Before I continue down the rabbit hole of worry, I remind myself that I shouldn't be going through his cell phone anyway, that I would be furious if he did that to me. He probably does, though. I just haven't caught him. The bedroom door clicks open, and I jump as if I've been caught doing something I shouldn't be. Hardin strides in, shirtless, barefoot, wearing the gym shorts, the black line of his boxer showing.
You okay?
He asks, rubbing a white towel over his soaked hair. I love the way his hair appears black when it's wet. The contrast with his green eyes is something one can only dream about. Yeah, that wasn't a long shower. I sit down on the chair. I should have gotten you dirtier, I say, trying to distract him from the slight quaver in my voice.
I was in a hurry to see you,
he says unconvincingly. I smile. You're hungry, aren't you?
Yeah,
he admits with an amused grin.
I got hungry.
Thought so.
Your dad's still asleep. Is he going to stay here while we're gone?
Excitement overtakes any worry I had. You're coming?
Yeah, I guess. If it's as lame as I know it will be, I'm only staying one night.
Okay, I say with understanding. But inside I'm beaming, knowing that he won't leave early. He just has to keep up appearances by complaining about this sort of thing. He licks his lips, and I think back to him between my thighs. Can I ask you something? I say. His eyes meet mine, and he nods.
Yeah?
He sits on the bed. When you... you know, was it because I was pulling your hair?
What?
He laughs slightly. When I pulled at your hair, you liked it? I flush.
Yeah, I did.
Oh. I can't imagine the shade of red I'm turning right now.
Is that weird to you, that I liked it?
No, I'm just curious, I tell him truthfully.
Everyone has certain things they like during sex. That's one of mine. I didn't know it until just now, though.
He smiles, completely unfazed that we're talking about this. Oh, yeah? I get excited at the thought that he learned something new while with me.
Yeah,
he says.
I mean, my hair's been pulled on by other girls, but it's different with you.
Oh, I say for the 10th time, but this one leaves me feeling flat. Likely unaware of my reaction, Harden looks at me with curiosity gleaming in his green eyes.
Is there something you like that I haven't done?
No, I like everything you do, I say softly.
Yeah, I know. But is there something you've thought about doing before that we haven't done?
I shake my head.
Don't be embarrassed, baby. Everyone has fantasies.
I don't. At least, I don't think I do. I haven't had any experience outside of Harden, and I don't know of anything else besides what we've done.
You do,
he says with a smile.
We just have to find them.
My stomach flutters, and I don't know what to say. But then my father's voice breaks our conversation.
Tessie?
My first thought is that I'm relieved that his voice sounds like it's coming from the living room and not the hallway. Harden and I both stand. I'm going to use the restroom, I say. He nods with a wicked grin and heads to the living room to join my father. When I get into the bathroom, Harden's phone is sitting on the edge of the sink. I know I shouldn't, but I can't stop myself. I immediately go to the call log, but it doesn't show. All the calls have been cleared. Not a single one is shown on the screen. I try again and then look at the text message screen. Nothing. He's deleted everything. Chapter 17. Tessa. Harden and my father are both seated at the kitchen table when I emerge from the bathroom, Harden's phone in hand.
I'm wilting away here, babe,
Harden says when I reach them. My father looks over sheepishly.
I could eat,
he begins, like he's unsure. I place my hands on the top of Harden's chair and he leans his head back, his damp hair touching my fingers. Then I suggest you make yourself something to eat, I say, and place his phone in front of him. He looks up at me with a completely neutral expression.
Okay,
he says, and gets up and goes to the refrigerator.
Are you hungry?
He asks. I have my leftovers from Applebee's.
Are you upset with me about taking him drinking today?
My father asks. I look over at him and soften my tone. I could tell what my dad was like when I invited him in. I'm not upset, but I don't want it to become a regular thing.
It won't. Besides, you're moving.
He reminds me, and I look across the table at the man I've only known for 2 days now. I don't reply. Instead, I join Harden at the fridge and pull the freezer door open. What do you want to eat? I ask him. He looks at me with wary eyes, clearly trying to assess my mood.
Just some chicken or something. Or we can order some takeout.
I sigh. Let's just order something. I don't mean to be short with him, but my mind is whirling with possibilities of what was on his phone that he felt needed to be deleted. Once ordering food becomes the plan, Harden and my father begin bickering over Chinese or pizza. Harden wants pizza, and he wins the argument by reminding my father who will be paying for it. For his part, my father doesn't seem offended by Harden's digs. He just laughs or flips him off. It's a strange sight, really, to watch the two of them. After my father left, I would often daydream about him when I saw my friends with their fathers. I had created a vision of a man who resembled the man I grew up with, only older and definitely not a homeless drunk. I'd always thought of him carrying an attaché case stuffed with important documents, walking to his car in the morning, coffee mug in hand. I didn't imagine he'd still be drinking, that he'd be ravaged by it like he's been, and that he'd be without a place to live. I can't picture my mother and this man being able to hold a conversation, let alone spending years married to each other. "How did you and my mother meet?" I say, suddenly voicing my thoughts.
"In high school,"
he answers. Hardin grabs his phone and leaves the room to order the pizza. Either that or to call someone and then quickly delete the call log. I sit at the kitchen table across from my father. "How long were you dating before you got married?" I ask.
"Only about 2 years. We got married young."
I feel uncomfortable asking these questions, but I know I wouldn't have any luck getting the answers from my mother. Why?
You and your mom never talked about this?
He asks. No, we never talked about you. If I even tried to bring the subject up, she shut down, I tell him, and watch his features transform from interest to shame.
Oh.
Sorry, I say, though I'm not sure what I'm apologizing for.
No, I get it. I don't blame her.
He closes his eyes for a moment before opening them again. Hardin strolls back into the kitchen and sits down next to me.
To answer your question, we got married young because she got pregnant with you, and your grandparents hated me and tried to keep her away from me, so we got hitched.
He smiles, enjoying the memory. You got married despite my grandparents? I ask with a smile. My grandparents, may they rest in peace, were a little... intense. Very intense. My childhood memories of them include being shushed at the dinner table for laughing and being told to take my shoes off before walking on their carpet. For birthdays, they would send an impersonal card with a 10-year savings bond inside. Not an ideal gift for an 8-year-old. My mother was essentially a clone of my grandmother, only slightly less poised. She tried, though. My mother spends her days and nights trying to be as perfect as she remembers her own mother being. Or, I suddenly think, as perfect as she imagines her being. My father laughs.
In a way, yes, to piss them off. But your mother always wanted to be married. She practically dragged me to the altar.
He laughs again and Hardin looks at me before laughing as well. I scowl at him, knowing he's concocting some snarky comment about me forcing him into marriage. I turn back to my dad. Were you against marriage? I ask.
No. I don't remember, really. All I know is I was scared as hell to have a baby at 19. And rightfully so. We can see how that worked out for you,
Hardin remarks. I shoot him a glare, but my father only rolls his eyes at him.
It's not something I recommend, but there are a lot of young parents that can handle it.
He lifts his hands up in resignation.
I just wasn't one of them.
Oh, I say. I can't imagine being a parent at my age. He smiles, clearly open to giving me what answers he can.
Any more questions, Tessie?
No, I think that's all, I say. I don't exactly feel comfortable around him, though in a strange way I feel more comfortable than I would if my mother were sitting here instead of him.
If you think of any more, you can ask me. Until then... Do you mind if I take another shower before dinner comes?
Of course not. Go ahead, I say. It seems like he's been here longer than 2 days. So much has happened since he appeared. Hardin's expulsion slash non-expulsion, Zed's appearance in the parking lot, my lunch with Steph and Molly, the ever-disappearing call log. Just too much. This overstressful, constantly growing pile of issues in my life doesn't appear to be letting up anytime soon.
What's wrong?
Hardin asks when my father disappears down the hall. Nothing. I stand up and take a few steps before he stops me by touching my waist and turning me around to face him.
I know you better than that. Tell me what's wrong,
he softly demands, placing both hands on my hips. I look him dead in the eyes. You.
I... what?
Talk, he demands. You're acting weird. And you deleted your text messages and calls. His features twist in annoyance, and he pinches the bridge of his nose.
Why would you be looking through my phone anyway?
Because you're acting suspicious and...
So you go through my shit? Didn't I tell you before not to do that?
The look of indignation on his face is so brazen, looks so practiced, that my blood gets boiling. I know I shouldn't be going through your things, but you shouldn't give me a reason to. And if you don't have anything to hide, why would you care? I wouldn't mind if you looked through my phone. I have nothing to hide. I dig mine out of my pocket and hold it out. Then I start to worry that maybe I didn't delete the text from Zed on there, and I panic, until Hardin waves it away like my trust is a gnat.
You're making up excuses for how psychotic you are,
he says, his words burning me. I don't have anything to say. Well, actually, I have a lot to say to him, but no words come from my mouth. I push his hands from my hips and storm off. He says he knows me well enough to sense when something's wrong with me. Well, I know him well enough to sense when he's close to being caught at something. Whether it be a small lie or a bet for my virginity, the same thing happens each time. First he acts suspicious, then when I bring it up to him he gets angry and defensive, and finally he spits harsh words at me.
Don't walk away from me,
he bellows from behind me. Don't follow me, I say, and disappear into the bedroom. But he appears in the doorway a second later.
I don't like you going through my shit.
I don't like feeling like I have to. He closes the door and leans back against it.
You don't have to. I deleted that stuff because it was an accident. It's nothing for you to be all worked up over.
Worked up? You mean psychotic? He sighs.
I didn't really mean that.
Then stop saying things you don't mean, because then I can't tell what's true and what's not.
Then stop going through my shit, because I can't tell if I should trust you or not.
Fine. I sit down at the desk.
Fine,
he repeats and sits down on the bed. I can't decide if I believe him or not. Nothing adds up, but in a way it does. Maybe he did delete the texts and calls by accident, and maybe he was talking to Steph on the phone. The bits and pieces of the conversation that I caught fuel my imagination, but I don't want to ask Hardin about it because I don't want him to know I overheard them. It's not like he'd tell me what they talked about anyway. I don't want there to be secrets between us. We should be past that, I remind him.
I know. Fuck. There aren't any secrets. You're being crazy.
Stop calling me crazy. You, of all people, shouldn't be calling anyone that. I regret the words as soon as they're out, but he doesn't seem fazed.
I'm sorry, okay? You're not crazy,
he says, then smiles.
You just go through my phone.
I force a smile in return and try to convince myself that he's right, that I'm being paranoid. Worst case scenario, he's hiding something from me. I'll find out eventually, so there isn't any point in obsessing over it now. I found out everything else. I mentally repeat the logic over and over until I'm convinced. My father yells something from the other room, and Hardin says,
I think the pizza's here. You're not going to be mad at me all night, are you?
But he leaves the room without giving me a chance to answer. I swivel on my seat and look at where I laid my phone on the desk. Curious, I check it, and sure enough, I have another new text from Zed. I don't bother to read it this time. The next day is my last at the old office, and I drive slower than usual to work. I want to take in every street, every building on the way. This paid internship has been a dream come true. I know I'll be working for Vance in Seattle, but this area is where it started, where my career started. Kimberly is sitting at her desk when I step off the elevator. Multiple brown boxes are stacked near the side of her desk.
Good morning, she chirps.
Good morning. My voice isn't capable of sounding as cheery as hers. I'd come off nervous and awkward.
Ready for your last week here?
She asks as I fill a small styrofoam cup with coffee. Yes, my last day, actually. I'm going on a trip for the rest of the week, I remind her.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. Wow. Your last day. I should have gotten you a card or something.
She smiles.
But then I could just give it to you next week at your new office.
I laugh. Are you ready to go? When will you be leaving?
Friday. Our new house is already unpacked and ready for us to arrive.
I'm quite certain that Kimberly and Christian's new home is lovely, large, and modern, much like the house they're moving from. Kimberly's engagement ring sparkles under the light, and I can't help but stare at the beautiful band every time I see it. I'm still waiting for the woman to call me back about my apartment, I tell her, and she turns to look at me.
What? You don't have an apartment yet?
I do. I sent her the paperwork already. We just have to go over the details of the lease.
You only have 6 days, Kimberly says, looking panicked for me.
I know. I have it under control, I assure her, hoping it's true. If this had been happening a few months ago, I'd have had every detail of this move planned, but lately I've been too stressed to focus on anything, even the move to Seattle.
Okay, if you need help, just let me know, she offers as she turns her attention to the phone ringing on her desk.
When I get back to my office, there are a few empty boxes on the floor. I don't have many personal items, so it shouldn't take long to pack. 20 minutes later, as I tape the last box closed, there's a gentle knock at the door. Come in, I say loudly. For a moment, I wonder if it's Harden, but when I turn around, Trevor is standing in the doorway wearing light jeans and a plain white T-shirt. I'm always caught off guard when he's dressed casually. I'm so used to seeing him in a suit.
Are you ready for the big move?
He asks, as I attempt to lift a box that I packed too full.
Yeah, almost. Are you?
He walks over and picks up the box for me, placing it on the desk.
Thanks. I smile and wipe my hands on the sides of my green dress.
I am. I'm heading out today as soon as I finish up here.
That's amazing. I know you've been ready to move to Seattle since the last time we were there. I can feel embarrassment spread over my cheeks as I watch it spread across his. Last time we were there, Trevor took me to a nice dinner, only to have me reject his kiss, and then later be threatened and shoved by Harden. I have no idea why I just brought that up. He looks at me blankly.
That was an interesting weekend. Anyway, I know you have to be pumped, too. You've always wanted to live in Seattle.
Yeah, I can't wait. Trevor looks around my office.
I know it's none of my business, but is Harden moving to Seattle with you?
No. My mouth answers before my mind can catch up. Well, I'm not sure yet. He says he doesn't want to, but I'm hoping that he'll change his mind. I continue to ramble, the words coming out quickly, too quickly, and Trevor looks somewhat uncomfortable as he shoves his hands into his jean pockets before finally interrupting me.
Why wouldn't he want to go with you?
I'm not sure, really, but I hope he does. I sigh and sit down in my leather desk chair. Trevor's blue eyes meet mine.
He's crazy if he doesn't.
He's crazy either way, I laugh, trying to diminish the growing tension in the room. He laughs too and shakes his head.
Well, I better finish up so I can get on the road, but I'll see you in Seattle.
With a smile, he leaves my office, and for some reason I feel slightly guilty. I reach for my phone and text Harden, casually letting him know that Trevor stopped by my office. For once, Harden's jealousy appeals to me. Maybe he'll find himself too jealous of Trevor and decide to move to Seattle after all. It doesn't seem likely, but I can't help but hold on to the last thread of hope that he'll change his mind. The clock is running out. 6 days is not very long for him to plan. He'd have to put in a transfer request, which shouldn't be a problem considering Ken's position. 6 days doesn't seem long enough for me either, though I'm ready for Seattle. I have to be. This is my future, and I can't center it around Harden when he isn't willing to compromise. I offered a fair plan. We move to Seattle first, and if it doesn't work out, we can go to England. But he didn't give it a second thought before declining. I'm hoping this whale-watching trip we have planned with his family will make him see that he can join me, Landon, Ken, and Karen in trying new things. That doing something fun and positive isn't too difficult. Then again, this is Harden I'm talking about, and nothing is easy when it comes to him. The phone on my desk rings, distracting me from my stressful thoughts about Seattle.
You have a visitor,
Kimberly says into my ear, and my heart leaps at the thought of seeing Harden. It's only been a few hours, but I always miss him when we're apart. Tell Harden to come on back. I'm surprised he even waited for you to call me, I say. Kimberly clicks her tongue.
It's not Harden.
Maybe Harden brought my father here?
Is it an older man with a beard?
No. Young guy. Like Harden, she practically whispers. Does he have bruises on his face? I ask, despite the fact that I already know the answer.
Yeah, should I make him leave?
I don't want to make her force Zed to leave, and he hasn't done anything